When we think about luxuries becoming a necessity, I think about the difference between those things that are beneficial and those things that are necessary. For example, it's probably beneficial if you want to have a healthy heart to limit to some degree the amount of fats or red meat that you take into your body. It's not necessary, but it is beneficial, right? But the person that the doctor says your heart will not continue to beat unless we insert a pacemaker to make sure that those little electric currents continue unabated, for that person, the pacemaker is not simply beneficial, it is what? Necessary. Now, I know that for my health, although it's extremely hard for me, I love sweets, I love sugar, I like candy. My wife says I like junk candy, and I do. So for my health, it's beneficial if I limit the intake of processed sugar that I have in my body. It's beneficial. But for the diabetic that must have insulin to survive, insulin is not beneficial. It is what? Necessary. Today, what we're going to be learning from John chapter 15 is that abiding in Jesus Christ is not merely beneficial, it's what? Necessary. I want you to look in your Bible in John chapter 15, but before we get to that passage, and I'm going to have you stand and follow along as I read that in a moment, I want to remind you where we are in Scripture, and we're going to look at two verses in John chapter 14. Jesus has celebrated the last meal, the Last Supper, the Passover meal with his disciples in the upper room. He is preparing for his betrayal. Judas has not remained with the group, but he has departed to go and betray Jesus to the religious rulers of the Jews. And the remaining disciples who were with Christ, he was sharing with them these last words in these last moments before he ultimately would be arrested, tried, and crucified. And in John chapter 14 and in verse 16, Jesus makes an interesting statement. I will ask the Father, he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, talking about the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Now, with that in mind, Jesus continues teaching and talking to his followers. And Jesus, in John chapter 15, lays out before them the importance of abiding in Christ. Would you stand for the reading of God's word? And let's read again verse 15, and we're going to go through verse 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can't do anything. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. They gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. Thank you. Would you be seated this morning? It's really interesting because when you read John chapter 15, verse 1 through 11, you find that 10 different times the same Greek word is used for abide, or it may be translated in your passage, remain. But it's interesting because if you go to the epistles of John, 1st and 2nd John, not 3rd John, but 1st and 2nd John, you'll find that the same Greek word, abide, is used 25 times in 1st and 2nd John. And so if you study John chapter 15 and you're reading what Jesus was teaching his disciples, if you want a further explanation and application of that to your life, you're going to go to 1 John 1 and 1 John 2, and you're going to go into 2 John, and you're going to read the word used again and again and again, and it is the word abide. It's a word that simply means to remain. To remain in the same place, a period of time, or to make oneself at home. Now, here's the key thought that I want to share with you today, because we're studying what the Bible says in John 15 about what it means to abide in Christ. 2 weeks ago, we shared with you about fruitfulness and how God intends that you live out a fruitful Christian life. Today, we're going to be looking at the word abide and what it means to abide in Christ. But here's the key thought that I don't want you to miss today. Activity without intimacy will not sustain you, nor will it empower you to live a fruitful Christian life. Let me say that again. Activity without intimacy will not sustain you, nor will it empower you to live a fruitful Christian life. When you read this passage, it's very interesting because in verse 4, Jesus says, "Abide in me." It's actually a command, but he also says, "And I in you." Two things I want to mention to you this morning. First and foremost, abiding in Christ is a necessity to the Christian life. Abiding in Christ is a necessity to the Christian life. It's not simply beneficial. It's not something that has good results. It is absolutely essential and necessary for everything of what it means to be a Christian. Now, we find this in this passage first and foremost, that it says salvation is dependent on abiding in Christ. Now, you say, where in the world do you get this from? Well, first of all, remember the context. The 11 disciples that were with Jesus were minus one whose name was Judas. Now, remember I said that Judas did not remain with Jesus, but Judas departed. Now, before you get the wrong idea, are you saying, Daryl, that someone can lose their salvation? No, I'm not. What I am saying is this. If a person has genuinely repented and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, they will always remain with him. Now, that doesn't mean that they don't have side trips and side tracks. That doesn't mean we don't stumble and have seasons where we grow cold or we fall into sin. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this. Salvation is completely and utterly dependent on you and I abiding or remaining in Jesus Christ. And here's the good news. You can't keep yourself saved. It is Jesus who saves you, and he is the one who holds you fast in your salvation. You only remain in Jesus because Jesus keeps you connected to him. Amen? Now that's good news, isn't it? But it's really interesting because if you are a believer, if you have genuinely been born again into the family of God, Paul's favorite phrase for describing what it means to be a Christian is in Christ. You are located in Christ. It's a locative of sphere. And because of that, if you are in Christ, then there are some practical realities about the Christian life that make abiding in Christ necessary. Notice what he says in this passage. He says, effective prayer is dependent on abiding in Christ. See, abiding in Christ is not merely being located in relationship with Jesus. Abiding in Christ also has to do with your proximity or fellowship with Christ. Notice in verse 7 what he says. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. In other words, if you want to have an effective prayer life, the effectiveness of your prayer life has everything to do with the relationship once you have been positionally placed in Christ and been justified as if you had never sinned. Now you and I need to have a relationship of fellowship that moves from a mere head knowledge and a heart reality to an ongoing intimacy. And that intimacy is necessary in our lives. And it comes from abiding in him, remaining in him, walking with him, being close to him. Effective prayer is dependent on abiding in Christ. Sometimes when we struggle to pray, or we struggle to know what we're to pray for, or maybe we come to a crossroads and a crisis in our life, and we wonder why we don't seem to be getting anywhere with our prayers, it may be that we've been trying to live saying that we're a Christian, but not walking closely with Christ. And all of a sudden when we need him, we run to him and we have a hard time hearing his voice, knowing what he's saying, sensing what he's directing, and it has everything to do because we don't have an intimacy with him. Effective prayer is dependent on abiding in Christ. But he also tells us that fruitfulness is dependent on abiding in Christ. He says this in verses 4 and 5. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. So when we think about the reality that abiding in Christ is a necessity to the Christian life, it's necessary because it impacts our prayer life. It's necessary because it impacts our fruitfulness. Notice the progression that we read about in this scripture. The Bible says God wants you to grow in fruitfulness. If you have no fruit, he wants you to bear fruit. And if you're bearing fruit, he wants you to bear much fruit. And then if you're bearing much fruit, God wants you to grow in the grace of God so that you're bearing even more fruit for the glory of God and the praise of his name. See, in the Christian life, one of the dangers that we face is that we tend to put all of our attention on the fruit. I've got to bear fruit. I've got to get some fruit. I've got to make sure there's fruit. I've got to do all I can to have fruit. But the problem is, God never tells us to focus on the fruit. God tells us to focus on abiding in him. We have taken the work ethic, which I love and appreciate and value in the Western culture of the United States of America, and we have input that into the Christian life so that we have confused intimacy with activity. And the truth of the matter is, you can be a very active person in the church, you can be very active in community things, you can be very active in doing good deeds, but the truth of the matter is, it will not sustain you. As a matter of fact, you'll get worn out and you will get weary and you will get discouraged and you will get downcast because you're trying to do it all in your own strength. What the Word of God says is that fruitfulness in the Christian life, whether it's the fruitfulness of the fruit of the Spirit being born in us or us reaching people with the gospel, everything is directly connected as to whether or not the source of our empowerment to bear fruit comes from the vine and not from ourselves. Everybody wants to be gifted at what they do. If you teach, you want to be a good teacher. If you sing, you want to be a good singer. If you preach, you want to be a good preacher. But I've got news for you. I'd rather have someone who's anointed than skilled. We don't use words like unction or anointing much anymore. But we should. What I long for in my own personal life, I want to be the best that I can be at whatever I do, but ultimately what I need is the indwelling Christ to so possess my heart, mind, and soul that whatever comes out is Christ. Fruitfulness is dependent on abiding in Christ. But he says one other thing. Look here in verse 11. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. Sometimes we come to church and we sing great songs and we feel the tug of the emotion of the moment, and it fills us up for just a little while, and we go away and we wonder why we don't feel that way at other times. Well, the reason is you can't have genuine joy that is effervescent in your life, even in the midst of difficult days and dark circumstances, if it's not Christ who lives in you that is flowing out of you. Jesus makes an amazing statement here. He says, your prayer life is impacted by whether or not you abide in me. Your fruitfulness is impacted by whether or not you abide in me. But he also says, your joy, the joy that you have in your life that others can see and give glory to God, it is directly connected to whether or not you are abiding in me. Abiding in Christ is a necessity to the Christian life. But he says something else in here that is very important. And that is, abiding is a reciprocal relationship of intimacy. In other words, it is not just a one-way relationship. Abiding in Christ is a reciprocal relationship where we have a relationship with Him, He has a relationship with us. Notice what he says again in verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. If you go back to John 14 and you look at what it says in verse 17, the Spirit of the truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not hold him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Now in 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 28, John makes this statement to the children, the church. Now little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. John commands the early church to do their part in abiding in him. Now, Jesus said in John 15, you can't do anything apart from me. So we know that we are utterly dependent on God for everything that we need, every part of the Christian life. We are ultimately, completely, necessarily dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet God says that this relationship of dependency brings with it responsibility. It doesn't remove our responsibility that there are things that God says that we can do if we're going to remain in Him, if we're going to abide in Him, if we're going to have an ongoing, intimate relationship with Him. There are five of them that I find in this passage. The first one is the word rest. If you want to cultivate abiding in your relationship with Jesus Christ, one of the very first things that you've got to learn to do is rest in Him. Now, the idea of rest is very different than what most people think of rest. Most people think of rest as a cessation of work. But in reality, rest in the Bible does not mean ceasing. It means something totally different. And when you read this in this passage, and over again, the word abide, that simply means remain, to make home. The word rest says, I find absolute rest in the sufficiency of Jesus Christ for everything. One scholar said it like this: the essential meaning of our act of abiding is receiving and trusting all that God is for us in Christ Jesus. So the very first thing that you and I have to do if we're going to abide in Christ, if we're going to have an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, is we're going to have to come to a place of rest that we really do believe that Jesus Christ is the sufficiency for everything that we have in life. Didn't He say, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it what? Abundantly. Rest. The second word that you find is the word focus. Now, whenever we read this passage, we understand that the Bible makes it abundantly clear that if the branch is not connected to the vine from which the sap, the source of life, comes, then the branch can't produce anything. But one key component in John 15 that I find is not only resting in the Lord, but it is also focusing on the Lord. What do I mean by focus? It means I orient my mind and heart to the things of Jesus Christ. I orient my heart and my mind to the things of Jesus Christ. It's hard to have a relationship with the Lord if He's never on your mind or on your heart. Now, I know that we all have busy lives and work can get in the way and we've got responsibilities and activities and everything else that we do. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus Christ should be the focus of everything in our life. The focus of our work is not merely doing a good job for a good job's sake. It is the fact that we focus on the fact that we are to bring glory and honor to the Lord, not only in the way that we work, but in the why that we work. Leisure is a good thing, and it's a joy, and it's a blessing. And so because of that, whenever we take time for leisure, our focus should be, how does this bring glory? What does this do to comfort my soul and encourage and strengthen me in my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? If you want to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is not a passive relationship, it is an active relationship, and that's why abiding in Christ is a reciprocal relationship of intimacy. You and I can rest in Him, in His sufficiency, but we focus, we orient our mind and our heart on the Lord Jesus and His kingdom. The third word that I would use here is the word absorb. Look in verse 7 at what He says. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. If you'll go to 1 John chapter 2 and 1 John chapter 3, you read over and over again in 1 John 1, 2, and 3, you read about how the way that we know that we belong to Jesus is if we're living in obedience to his word. But over and over again, he says, if my word is in you, if the word is in you, how does the word of God get in us? The only way the word of God can be in us and working through us is when you and I absorb God's word into our life. Now today we live in an information age with content everywhere that you go. I can read more articles and information that I care to. I can read one article that tells me if I eat this food, it's going to be great. And if I eat that same food, another article tells me I'm going to get cancer. Can I get an amen? So I say just eat and enjoy, right? The problem is we've become so overwhelmed with information that we do what I used to do in school. I was ADHD before they ever pronounced what it was. And my goal in school when I was a kid was not to learn, it was to get through. Any of you teachers know kids like me? And I could make good grades, and I wasn't a straight A student. I wasn't, you know, all that kind of thing, but I was having too good a time to worry about that. As long as my parents were satisfied with my grades and I made A's and B's and an occasional C, you know, I was okay with that. Because the goal wasn't to learn, the goal was to get what? Through. You know what the problem with that was? I learned it well enough to regurgitate it when it was necessary for a test, but I never absorbed it into my mind. Now, I don't know why anybody really needs to study trigonometry, but I did. All of that is gone. I took physics out here at UAH. Guess what? The other day, I was reading about a physics formula, force equals mass times acceleration, and you know what? I should have known that from when I was in college, but guess what? It's gone. Because I learned it to take a test. I didn't absorb it as something to be used in my life. What I'm trying to say is this: the Word of God is not information that simply passes through. It requires us to absorb it in our mind and our heart. And that's why the Bible says over and over again, meditate on the law of the Lord. Rest, focus, absorb. And then there's another word, and it's the word affection. Affection. Notice what Jesus says in verse 9. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. And then he says, remain in, make yourself at home in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So if you want to grow in intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not just resting in the sufficiency of Christ. It's not just focusing your life on Jesus and his kingdom. And it's not just absorbing the word into your heart and mind. It also has to do with your affections. The passion of my heart is Christ. Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Next week, I'm going to be teaching about the dangers of distractions that keep us from abiding in Christ. And one of the things that we'll talk about is what are the things that compete with our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 John, Jesus says to us over and over again, one of the ways that we know that you're not in darkness is that you love the brethren and you abide in my love. Affections. The greatest affections of your life should be for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's one final word. It's the word obedience. In verse 10, you see it this way. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments. Now, in 2 weeks, I'll teach about the connection between obedience and intimacy with Christ. But you want to follow a pattern for how you can grow in your intimacy in a relationship with Jesus. You need to think in these terms: rest, focus, absorb, affections, and obedience. Because here's the truth. Activity without intimacy will not sustain you, and it will not empower you to live out a fruitful Christian life. In all these years of ministry, I'll have people say things to me when they come in for marriage counseling. You know, we really live together, but we really live like roommates, not like we're married. Or somebody will say, we have a house, but we don't have a home. Do you realize that you can be active, you can be involved, you can be even faithful in your attendance? You can do all of the right things that you think everybody looking on the outside would say, man, that is such a good Christian, because we have somehow equated activity to intimacy. But I want to tell you something. Jesus never intended for your heart to be a house for him. He intended for you to make a home with him. Jesus never intended for you to have information about him. He intended for you to have intimacy with him. He never intended to simply be a roommate who takes up residence. He intended for you to be in a relationship of grace and mercy and love. And I have a feeling this morning that some of you are thinking, Daryl, I don't have time to set aside 10 nights to come to church and to listen to people teach me about how to walk with God. I'm too busy. I've got too much on my plate. My kids have too many activities to do these things. But the very reason that we have invited Life Action Ministry to come to our church is so that you and I will take the time to sit down and say, Lord, I'm gonna slow down my activity. I'm gonna focus my affections. I'm gonna let your word be absorbed in my heart and mind. And you're gonna hear this from them. The definition of obedience is doing what God says when God says to do it, with the right heart attitude. And that's all we long for. Is to not substitute activity for intimacy. Because when you and I have intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ, the fruit of the Spirit and the fruitfulness of a Christian life will be born because the life-giving power of Jesus flows from us. Would you stand this morning? Here's what I'm asking you to do this morning. I'm asking you, first of all, if you say, Daryl, I need a church home like Whitesburg Baptist Church. I want to tell you some of the finest people I've ever known anywhere. I love these people. I love this church. And if you're a guest today or you've been visiting, you ought to come be a part with us. Some of you this morning, when I made the comment some married couples live like roommates, not in a relationship. You said, that's where I'm at with the Lord today. I know he's in my heart, but there's no intimacy there. And today you're going to come down to this altar and you're going to say, God, would you give me back that joy? God, would you draw me close to yourself? Would you change my heart? Today, if you're here and you say, Daryl, I've never met Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord, but I'd like to, I want you to come. We'll be glad to talk with you and pray with you. Would you join me here today? Father, I pray that your Spirit will lead us, and as Rick leads us in this song, use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.